Chapter 4. The commotion in the mirror room made it hard to think. People were shouting and arguing, and the crowd was entirely too close. Sabrina suddenly felt wobbly and short of breath.
"Wait, what?"
Sabrina said. Never in her life had she felt so off-kilter. Had she really heard the mirror's prophecy correctly? Was she really essential to saving her grandmother and the world, too? She wanted to shout that they were wrong. She wanted to know if they were joking. Or worse, insane. And then her father was there, taking her by the arm and pulling her out of the room, out of the loud, hot chaos. Her mother followed with Daphne and Basil in tow, and soon they were through the portal door and marching across the courtyard. "Head for the train station and get on the next one to Grand Central," Henry said. "I have to stay and rescue my mother, but I'll meet you there as soon as I can."
"Henry, we should stay together," Veronica said.
"Dad!" "This isn't up for discussion, Daphne," Henry barked. "I should have sent you away the second I had a chance. I won't make that mistake again."
"But you heard them, Dad. If we don't stop Mirror, he will take over the world. That's, like, really bad,"
Daphne said. "The world will have to worry about itself." Daphne wouldn't let it go.
"Mom, can you..."
"Henry, I think Daphne has a point," Veronica said.
Sabrina only caught snippets of the conversation around her. Her mind was back in the room watching the wicked queen's face as the mirrors predicted the future. Like the others, she'd been shocked. But there was something else in her eyes. Acceptance of what the mirrors were saying and even hope? Sabrina couldn't be sure, but it didn't matter now. None of it mattered. Mirror was going to have his way. Soon, her world would go through another upheaval. She needed to prepare for a life on the run. They were almost to the drawbridge when the Wicked Queen came charging after them.
"You can't leave!"
Henry turned on her. "Watch us!"
"The girls are the keys to everything, Henry," she said.
"Your mirrors are busted," Henry said.
"I know all there is to know about wanting to save a child from tragedy and danger, but this is their destiny. The Council of Mirrors sees all possibilities, and they have led us on our only path. I don't like it any more than you do, but if they don't carry this burden, then we will all suffer.
Running is futile, Henry. When Mirror breaks through that barrier, he will unleash massive power on a world that believes magic only exists in children's books. Their guns and bombs will be useless against him. Every person on this planet will suffer at his hand, and he will hunt his enemies down one by one. There will be nowhere you can hide, and instead of standing up and fighting when you had the chance, you will doom us all. Do you understand me? Forget the world, Henry. Be practical. Think of your daughters first. The only way to save them is to let them fulfill their destiny."
"No one can know that," Henry cried.
Bunny snatched his arm before he could step away.
"I wouldn't be talking to you if that were true."
Henry pulled away, as if the queen's hand were the jaws of a venomous serpent, and continued for the gate.
"What about our stuff?"
Daphne asked as they stormed past log cabins and half-built ramparts.
"We'll buy new things in New York City," Henry said.
"What is going on?"
Red cried as she rushed to catch up with the family. Suddenly, Puck dropped down from the sky and blocked their way.
"I never thought I'd see the day."
"Ignore him," Henry muttered.
"I guess you folks are chicken,"
Puck said, spinning on his heels and morphing into a red rooster. He squawked obnoxiously and pecked at Henry's shoes.
"Forget saving the world. Are you really going to just give up on the old lady? After all that she's done for you? The cooking, the cleaning, the bedtime stories? How she hosed you down at night?"
"She didn't hose us down at night," Sabrina said. "Just you."
"And I'm not giving up. I'm getting my family to safety and then helping Mom," Henry said. The rooster spun around, and Puck returned to normal.
The old lady would never run. Are you sure you're actually related to her? I'd like to see some paperwork. I have to protect my family.
If Sabrina and Daphne leave, no one will be safe, Puck said.
But Henry ignored him and continued to march the family toward the stronghold's iron gate, despite the small crowd encircling them.
You can't just walk away, Puck shouted.
What do you want me to do? Let my kids die?
Your kids did just fine while you and Veronica were sound asleep, Beauty said.
Henry, let's just stop and talk about this, Veronica said.
Now you want to argue with me too?
He said, turning to face his wife. Mr. Canis hobbled forward.
They will have all of us at their side.
I'm sorry, but I can't put my faith in an army of children, talking animals, and the elderly, Henry said.
He led his family across the fallen drawbridge and into the woods, leaving the castle and their friends behind. As the girls glanced back, the castle magically disappeared from view. Henry marched with determination, seemingly undeterred by the lack of a path. The girls and their mother, carrying Basil, did their best to keep up with him. Puck followed from the air.
Once you get into Grand Central, Henry said, head for Brooklyn. Dana and Stephen will take you in.
Henry, they probably think we're dead after all the time we've been missing. And what are we supposed to do for money? Do you have any for train tickets?
Henry sighed, but his pace didn't slow. Yeah, money. I've got $10 in my wallet. I'm sure our credit cards have been canceled. Just get on the train. They may kick you off, but not before you're out of the town. Once you're on the other side of the barrier, you'll be safe. Call your sister in Australia.
Henry, I haven't spoken to her in a decade, Veronica said.
Tell her we'll pay her back whatever she can lend. Our money is still in the bank. Somewhere.
Veronica threw up her hands in exasperation, but still urged the girls forward. Sabrina stared back at Puck from over her shoulder. He looked defeated and confused, and then it hit her. She would never see him again. He was trapped in Ferryport Landing, like all the rest of the Ever Afters. He would never be able to follow her to the city. This was it.
The train station is a disaster! Puck shouted just before he disappeared from Sabrina's sight. When we were spying on the old lady, I flew overhead. The Scarlet Hand ripped up the tracks.
Henry stopped. The hesitation prompted Puck to fly into the air until he landed to block Henry's path once more. We'll go to Mom's house and get her car.
That heap of junk got crushed when the house was destroyed, Puck said. Then we'll walk,
Henry snapped.
Great idea, Puck said. What with all the monsters running around, but I'm sure they're not all as bad as Grendel. Besides, the rest of the family is trained to fight just like you, right? The baby knows how to throw an uppercut, I'm sure.
Henry threw up his hands and collapsed onto a fallen log.
Honey, Veronica asked.
I just need to think, he said, waving her off.
Then he shook his head and glared up at Puck.
I'm disappointed in you. Then things are getting back to normal, Puck said. I would have thought your puppy dog crush on my daughter would make you more protective.
Puck's mouth fell open, and his ears turned red with embarrassment. Puck, the boy who proudly collected his farts in mason jars, who never cared what anyone thought of him. But her father's accusation seemed to have upended his cocky confidence. He stammered, as if unsure what to say next. But then the boy fairy shook off his awkwardness and grinned mischievously.
Well, it's a little more than a crush, Henry, Puck said. I'm going to marry your daughter someday, so it's sort of important to my plans that she saved the world.
OMG. Daphne said, as she bit the palm of her hand.
Veronica's eyes were as big as pie plates. Henry fell off his log, and if Sabrina had been sitting on one, she would have done the same. She wanted to dig a hole and bury herself in it. Puck stood over her father and chuckled.
You can't embarrass me, Henry. I'm the trickster king, true king of fairy, crown prince of the overconfident, leader of the self-deluded, spiritual hero of all who think too highly of themselves. Now, are you going to listen to reason? Or do I just have to kidnap your daughters so we can get to work?
Do I get a vote in this? Veronica asked. Everyone turned to her.
Yes, Mom has an opinion, Veronica snapped. So listen up. We're staying.
Veronica, Henry said as he clambered to his feet.
I want more than anything to get Basil and the girls away from this town, Veronica said. But what if the mirrors are right? What if the girls are supposed to rescue Relda and make things okay again?
The mirrors didn't say the girls would save the world. They said they had a chance, Henry explained.
Yes, but they were certain that no one else had one. If they don't try, then it can't be done at all. I can't live with that. I haven't raised the girls to turn their backs on others.
Henry looked at his wife for a long time. His face was full of worry and fear. Daphne nodded.
Mom's right. Grimms don't run, especially when we're in a prophecy.
How many prophecies have we been in? Sabrina growled.
Just one, but do you think we'll be in any more if we screw up the first one?
Daphne said, turning to walk back to the castle.
We need to go back!
Daphne! Henry shouted. Daphne turned to face her father.
It's shenanigan time, Dad.
Red, Mr. Canis, and the Wicked Queen were waiting for them in a clearing just outside the invisible castle. The witch said nothing, but nodded respectfully to Henry.
So, what do we have to do? Henry said.
October 15th. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. After Goldie and Beauty saved us from Grendel, they led us to our missing uncle, who is now intent on revenge and may be committing murder as I write this. But then the Wicked Queen showed up, fixed all the broken magic mirrors, then ordered them to make a prophecy that says my sister and I are going to save the world, but my dad said forget that, and tried to squirrel us out of town until we realized we're kind of stuck and have to stay and do the right thing, even though all the ever-afters look like they're sure we're going to get everyone killed. And that was all before dinner. Today is a new day, and I'm hoping it's a little more relaxing. I mean, all I have to do is train and lead an army. I should have that finished before breakfast. Insert sarcastic facial expression. It seems that everywhere I go, people are staring at me, and there's nowhere to hide. Now I know what it's like to be a goldfish. Some of them watch me with curiosity, studying me, as if they might uncover some secret strength they have previously overlooked. Others watch as if they're about to see a terrible car accident, helpless to prevent vehicles from piling on top of one another and exploding. Some watch me out of the corners of their eyes, while others stare at me directly until I notice, and then they try to act like they were looking at something else. Daphne is oblivious. In some ways, I envy her ability to tune out the overwhelming disappointment of Charming's army. But on the other hand, seeing her singing her little songs and making a face out of two fried eggs, a slice of bacon, and a pancake makes me feel as nervous as the others. We are so young.
Charming sat next to Sabrina and her family as they were eating breakfast in the camp canteen. He did not look happy. Then again, neither did anyone. Most of them ate listlessly, bending their ears to catch every word that came from their conversations.
"How long are you going to lollygag around here this morning?" he hissed.
"What does lollygag mean?"
Daphne said.
"He says we're being lazy," Sabrina explained. "What he means, I don't understand."
"Then let me be a little more clear," Charming said. "When do you plan on doing something about the prophecy?"
"Cut the kids a break, William," Goldie said from a nearby table. "It just happened last night."
"Well, you may have slept peacefully, but everyone else in this camp was up all night,
worrying that a couple of kids who haven't even hit puberty yet are responsible for their lives. The morale in this place has hit an all-time low. So, unless the girls want these folks leaving in droves, I suggest they do whatever it is the mirrors told you to do. Sabrina frowned.
We're on it, she said.
Charming thanked her with a thick helping of sarcasm and stormed off to supervise work inside the castle. Canis filled Charming's seat at the table.
A word, Your Majesty,
he said in hushed tones to the wicked queen.
Of course. I understand that we have a book in our possession that could fix our problems, he said quietly.
Bunny raised her eyes.
Do you know about the Book of Ever After?
Relda shared a number of things with me. I also understand you've had a little experience altering its contents so that the world received the benefits.
Sabrina cocked an eyebrow. She knew exactly what Mr. Canis was talking about. Bunny had used the magical book to completely erase a human being from existence. Could it work on Mirror? Bunny shook her head.
It's not as simple as putting pen to paper. The story has to be managed and prodded, written and rewritten. The results are unpredictable at best and staggeringly difficult. It took me nearly 25 years to make the changes I made.
But certainly you should try, Canis said.
Relda Grimm doesn't have 25 years, Bunny said.
What exactly are we supposed to do then?
Sabrina whispered.
We do the first thing on the prophecy list, Bunny said. The Council of Mirrors says Daphne has to build a coven.
And we will, as soon as I find out what a coven is, Daphne said, shoving an entire link sausage into her already full mouth.
Elvis sat nearby, watching with envy.
It's a group of witches, Sabrina said.
Three, to be exact,
Morgan added as she and Mr. Seven approached the table. Glinda from Oz, Frau Pfefferkuchenhaus, and I were a coven. I'd be happy to join yours.
Daphne grinned. You would be my first choice, Morgan, and then you, Ms. Lancaster.
Morgan and the Wicked Queen looked at each other and shrugged.
Okay, but there has to be three. Who's last?
Bunny asked.
I have a great idea for number three, but...
Sabrina saw a twinkle in her sister's eye that she had seen many times before. Daphne was about to say something that would make Sabrina's life miserable. It might as well have been a neon sign reading, Trouble Ahead.
Why do I think I'm going to hate your choice?
She asked. Daphne folded a pancake in half and shoved it into her pocket, then grinned at her sister.
I have no idea.
Of all the witches in this town, you have to pick the one that wants to eat me,
Sabrina complained as she stomped through the woods toward Baba Yaga's hut. Bunny, Daphne, Morgan Le Fay, Puck, Elvis, and her father followed closely behind. None of them were thrilled by Daphne's choice. They took turns trying to talk her out of it. But Sabrina's sister insisted that if they wanted to build a coven of super-powerful witches, they should ask super-powerful witches to join.
Can we please try to keep it down?
Bunny whispered to Sabrina.
I don't like this idea any better than you do, but we don't need to whine quite so loudly. There are other things in these woods to be afraid of, like the Scarlet Hand.
Sorry.
Sabrina whispered back. But I'm completely freaked out. I think this is a really bad idea. We can't save the world if we're in Baba Yaga's belly. Why can't we use Mordred?
No boys allowed in a coven. It has to be a crone, a temptress, and an innocent.
Besides, boys have cooties,
Morgan said with a giggle.
Is that what these things are?
Puck asked, as he scratched at his armpits. Fine. What about Mallowbarb and Buzzflower? Henry asked. Briar's fairy godmothers use a lot of magic, and they're already living in the castle.
They're fairy godmothers, not witches, Daphne said. Duh.
Why not Ozma of Oz? Sabrina begged. She could be the innocent, Morgan would be the temptress, and Bunny the...
An angry glance from the queen cut off the end of Sabrina's sentence.
So how do you plan on getting her to agree? Sabrina said, quickly changing the subject. She's not exactly the joining type.
We're still working on that part of the plan,
Daphne said, as she scratched behind Elvis's ear.
Aren't we, buddy?
Please keep your voices down!
Bunny shouted, then closed her eyes and calmly counted to 10.
We don't have to announce to half of Dutchess County that we're coming.
Are you afraid of Baba Yaga, Bunny?
Henry asked. The witch rolled her eyes and laughed. Hardly. My power nearly rivals hers.
Nearly?
Sabrina asked. Nearly is not as good as totally rivals, or is better than, or spits in the face of. The queen scowled and marched to the front of the group. Following her directions, they trudged deeper into the darkest and loneliest part of the Hudson Valley Forest. Signs of life became more and more scarce, which meant they were walking in the right direction. The trees were black and bare, and looked more like shadows than living things. The grass grew in thin, gray clumps. The path was knotted with ugly vines, thick as chains, and covered with thorns that jabbed at ankles. Sabrina started to feel that throbbing, woozy sensation she got when she was around magic. She told herself to be strong and pressed onward. Following a bend in the path, they came upon the old witch's home. It was a ramshackle hut with a sagging roof covered in abandoned birds' nests. The two small windows and the single black door looked suspiciously like a face scanning for intruders. As if in mockery of a normal home, the hut also had a white fence, but instead of pickets, it was constructed from bones, mostly those of large animals, but more than a few looked human. A walkway of bleached skulls led to the front door. With a grimace, Daphne unhooked the fence latch and swung the bone gate aside. The family followed her into the yard.
"Who's going to knock?" she asked.
"It's your coven. You knock," Sabrina said.
Daphne cringed.
"I'm scared."
Puck rolled his eyes.
"I'll handle this."
"No," Henry said, stepping forward. "I've dealt with her a few times. The secret is to be respectful."
"Yes, remember to say please and thank you when she's chewing on your face," Sabrina muttered.
Henry raised his hand to knock on the door, but quickly pulled his hand away.
"It burned me," he said, looking down at his knuckles.
Sabrina could see the painful blisters forming on his hand. Henry searched the ground for something to use as a knocker, but the only thing available was a loose skull from the path. He yanked it out of the soil and clunked it against the door. Moments later, it swung open, but there was no one in the doorway. Puck chuckled.
"I hope everyone brought a change of undies, because I think this is just going to get spookier and spookier."
Henry peered into the house and waved the group forward. The witch's home was just as unsettling as it was the last time Sabrina had visited. Rusty cages big enough to imprison a child were stacked in a corner. Pots of strange bubbling potions and jars filled with animals, some still living, crowded the floor, along with a bent tray scattered with what looked like fingernails. On the far wall, a fireplace raged with an angry flame that flickered to reveal the suffering faces of shattered souls begging for release. A thick book with a cover made from what appeared to be human skin rested on a table. Sabrina wasn't sure if it was all the magic in the room or the fear racing through her veins, but it looked like the book's cover rose and fell as if it were breathing.
"Old Mother!" the wicked queen shouted. "We respectfully request an audience."
The flames in the fireplace roared as if fed by gasoline, and Daphne leaped into her father's arms.
"Old Mother, this is Bunny Lancaster.
I wish to speak with you.
Maybe she's gone. We should come back,
Morgan said, heading for the door.
She's here, Bunny said, scanning the room.
Perhaps she is shy, Puck said as he swaggered around the room. I can be very intimidating to some people.
Henry cringed. Don't taunt her, Puck.
You guys have got yourselves worked up over nothing. I mean, really.
And then, quite suddenly, a figure stepped out of a shadow behind Puck. Baba Yaga had long, gray hair that hung on her head like a rotting mop. Her one good eye spun in its socket, and her nose was as pointy as a steak knife. Puck screamed like a little girl. Sabrina would have spent months ridiculing him if she hadn't done the exact same thing. Baba Yaga squinted as she examined each member of the group. When she got to Sabrina, she leaned in close. The air temperature dropped at an alarming rate. Sabrina's teeth chattered and frosty breath escaped her lips.
The last time I saw you, I told you I'd make a coat of your skin. You are either insane or have the courage of a lion,
the old crone said to her.
Hello, old mother. I'm sorry if my girls have been a trouble to you, Henry said. My mother had her hands full while...
I know where you were, Henry Grimm,
Baba Yaga replied.
There is little that happens in this town that I am not aware of.
Baba Yaga crossed the room to a table. She picked up an apron with the words, Vermont is for lovers, and slipped it over her filthy smock. Then she snatched a knife from the table with one hand and fished a frog out of a jar with another. Sabrina was grateful that the woman's back blocked her view of what came next.
Then you know why we're here, Bunny said, seemingly unfazed.
Baba Yaga opened a small tin, smelled its contents, then threw it on the floor. She peered into a jewelry box filled with spitting centipedes, fished out a fat one, and then ate it.
I do.
The fate of the world is at hand, Morgan said.
Oh, sweet girl, the world isn't in any danger. It's the people who live on it that are going bye-bye.
Not if you help us, Daphne said.
Baba Yaga cackled and spittle covered her hairy chin. In her amusement, she kicked a can of something into the fireplace and it exploded.
Take yourselves and leave while I'm still feeling inclined to let you.
Old Mother, you must reconsider, Bunny cried.
Baba Yaga turned and soared across the room with lightning speed until she was within an inch of the Wicked Queen's nose.
You should respect your elders, Poison Maker. What do I care of this world? The old mother will live on, probably with far fewer interruptions.
The queen stood her ground.
This isn't a request.
Baba Yaga chuckled.
You dare laugh at me?
The queen cried, her voice like thunder. She stretched out her hand. Resting on her palm was a spinning ball of light and energy.
Baba Yaga had only a moment to register the light before it blasted her across the room and into one of her tables. She lay sprawled on the floor, seemingly dead, before an ancient and unintelligible chant came from her mouth. When it was complete, hundreds of pointy legs erupted from her body. She flipped over and scurried along the floor like a centipede, eventually scuttling up the wall and onto the ceiling where she swung from a filthy chandelier. From there, she leaped onto Bunny's back, and the two fell to the floor. The attack sent pots of bizarre potions splattering all over the room. Several monkeys locked in a cage in the far corner shrieked and pounded on the bars of their prison. There was a crash, and the floor was immediately covered with creepy crawlies by the thousands.
"You cannot turn your backs on the rest of us," Bunny shouted. "Billions will die."
A dog feels no sorrow when his fleas are extinguished.
Stop fighting, Daphne cried.
Bunny shouted an incantation,
and Baba Yaga went flying across the room again. In return, the old crone waved her hands in the air, and her body transformed into 20 flying daggers that sped toward the Wicked Queen with deadly accuracy. Bunny cast a spell, and a glowing red shield appeared, knocking the daggers to the ground. They melted into a thick pool, from which Baba Yaga rose. The old crone reached into the folds of her raggedy dress and brought something out. She held it to her mouth and blew. Hundreds of hairy spiders leaped from the device onto Bunny, burrowing under her skin. She screamed in agony. Before anyone could stop her, Daphne pushed between the dueling witches. "Cut it out!" Baba Yaga sneered at the girl, but took a step back. "I have no appetite for this fight. Gather yourselves and go." "No," Daphne cried. "Sounds to me like you're afraid." Baba Yaga's head turned toward the little girl so quickly, Sabrina heard the bones rattle inside the witch's neck. "What did you say?" "You heard me. You're a coward," Daphne said, standing her ground. "You're terrified of going up against Mirror, but you're hiding it under your usual grouchiness. I'm not fooled." "Daphne, shut up," Morgan pleaded. "I will kill you and suck on your bones, little one," the witch raged. "I've made soup from children like you who were far less lippy." Daphne cringed. "Fine. You're going to eat me. That doesn't mean you're not a lousy witch. You like to hide in this creepy house, but how scary could you be if my sister and I keep coming back here? You've lost your touch, old mama." "Daphne, shut up," Henry cried. "It's old mother!" Baba Yaga seethed. "Whatever. Maybe I made a mistake thinking you were the most powerful witch in town. I guess I'll have to go find Ozma of Oz." Baba Yaga's anger was so intense, her ratty hair stood on end. "Ozma of Oz, that child doesn't have a fraction of my power." "Maybe, but she's beating you in bravery," Daphne shouted back. There was a long, awkward pause, and then Baba Yaga started a new chant. The floor beneath their feet began to shake and rock. The walls drew inward as if the group were trapped inside a deflating balloon, and a moldy chandelier crashed to the floor mere inches from where Bunny was picking bugs out of her skin. Sabrina clenched her fist, preparing for a fight, when her father yanked her and Daphne by the arm.
"Okay, everyone outside," Henry cried.
Unfortunately, the door was closed tight, and no matter how hard Sabrina pulled, it wouldn't budge. Henry took a turn, but got the same result.
"Step aside," Morgan said.
Her eyes glowed red, and an invisible force as powerful as a hurricane hit the door. It flew off its hinges and sailed into the woods. Once free, the group, led by Elvis, spilled out through the opening, only to be stopped in their tracks. Standing at the gate were two figures. The first was Granny Relda, or rather something horrible wearing her skin. Sabrina cried out, seeing her beloved grandmother under the control of such evil. The second person waiting for them was wearing ancient chainmail armor and heavy boots covered in spikes. His sword was immense, with a golden hilt inset with a ruby that looked like a bloodshot eye. His long hair, the color of blood, hung lifelessly down his back like a waterfall of death.
"Atticus," Sabrina gasped.
She had first seen the evil prince inside the Book of Ever After, but out here in the real world, he was flesh and blood, and by the look in his eyes, eager to hurt someone. Granny was the first to speak. The voice was neither hers nor Mirror's, but a monstrous combination of the two.
"I've come to make you an offer."
"You let go of my grandmother first," Sabrina shouted.
"I wish I could, Starfish, but at the moment, I'm sort of stuck," Mirror said. "It's an unfortunate consequence of some monkey wrench you threw into my plans. If you had just let me have Basil, I wouldn't be trapped in this elderly body with all its aches and pains. But here we are. Oh, let me introduce you to my business associate, His Majesty Prince Atticus Charming.
The wicked queen stepped forward with her hand twisted into an angry claw.
You!
Well, if it isn't my mother-in-law, Atticus said. It's been a long time. Not long enough, Bunny seethed. Where is my wife? With my brother, no doubt, he said, as he drew his deadly sword. No mind, he will not keep her. Locking me away for hundreds of years has not stopped me. Nothing will stop me. Both the witch and the warrior looked ready to attack, but they were interrupted by Baba Yaga, who charged through the door of her home like an angry bull. She swiveled her head from the Grimms to Mirror and his companion.
Now, what is this?
Who is this withered old grape?
Atticus said. Mirror raised his hand for silence.
Your Majesty, it would serve you well to learn a little respect. This is Baba Yaga, a great and powerful sorceress. You should apologize.
Atticus laughed, but Mirror was not kidding.
You're serious? Okay, fine. I'm sorry, m'lady, he said with an exaggerated bow.
Baba Yaga was having none of it.
So, another steps forward to mock the old mother. Enough.
No, I'll take care of this, the wicked queen said. She swung her arm forward, as if slashing at Atticus with an invisible sword. A tidal wave of destruction sprung from her hand. The magic leveled trees and threw earth skyward. A cloud of dust and broken stone enveloped everything, as far as Sabrina could see. When the debris settled, Atticus and Mirror remained untouched and unharmed. The queen was shocked.
How?
Mirror winked.
Now, that would be telling.
This time, Morgan unleashed her power. Blasts of lightning and plasma rained down on the two villains. But like before, they remained untouched. When Morgan raised her hands for another attack, a blast of fiery flame erupted from Mirror's fingertips. The magic slammed into Morgan, and she flew backward several yards into the wall of Baba Yaga's hut.
You insult my home, little Mirror. It makes me angry,
Baba Yaga hissed. She reached into the folds of her dress and removed three slimy toads. Their slippery legs squirmed in her hands as she held them up to her mouth.
Bright morning, dark night, red sun.
She dropped the animals onto the ground, and before they had a chance to hop away, they began a disturbing transformation. Their skin bubbled and their bodies stretched, legs growing several feet. With each passing second, they twisted and changed unnaturally, until three full-grown men, each with the face and webbed hands of a frog, stood in front of Baba Yaga. They were dressed in tunics and armor, each reflecting their names, white, black, and red, and they held flaming swords. With their super-strong legs, they sprang into combat, slashing and stabbing at Atticus, whose own sword was raised in preparation. Mirror sighed, as if the battle were a mild inconvenience.
Enough of this unpleasantness, he said,
as if what had just occurred was nothing more than a glass of spilled milk.
We're all friends here, and I've come to make you the offer of a lifetime. I will let you all keep your lives, and all you have to do is lower the barrier. Old mother, I know that it is within your power. After all, It was you and Wilhelm who created it in the first place.
Baba Yaga chuckled.
What if I said, pretty please?
You are a curious thing, little mirror,
Baba Yaga said as she lurched toward him. She studied Granny Relda's face as if she could see the creature hidden beneath.
Sabrina stared as well. What was it that Baba Yaga saw? Some weakness?
The mirror that refuses to see that he is broken. Ah, I see. The answer is always in the eyes. Yes, I know how to beat you now. I can see your biggest weakness and how silly it is.
Her laughter was a combination of unnerving hacking and loud croaks, but the sound only unleashed Mirror's rage. He let loose a blast of raw energy that swept across Baba Yaga and swallowed her whole. It was magic so strong it ripped the flesh right off of the old witch's bones, like she had stepped into raging hot fire. Within seconds, her skeleton was picked clean. It fell to the ground alongside the bones of her fence and pathway.
No!
Bunny cried. Mirror clapped his hands, as if to remove the dust of hard work.
Tsk, tsk, what a shame. Now I have to spend the rest of my day searching her house for the spell.
But to everyone's surprise, Baba Yaga's skeleton clambered to its feet and stood upright. Sabrina gasped. The muscle, veins, organs, and skin began to grow over the bones, slowly inching across joints and through its rib cage. In no time at all, the old witch was whole again. Mirror cocked a curious eyebrow.
Now that is a good trick. Get into the house,
Baba Yaga shouted, running for the door. And without hesitation, everyone scrambled back through the doorway. Henry helped Morgan to her feet, and once inside, the old crone commanded her house to rise. Sabrina felt the floor heave beneath her. One side of the room tilted steeply, and the group slid across the floor, crashing in a pile against the wall. Then the other side of the room was hoisted high, and everyone slid the other way.
I love this house, Puck crowed.
I hate this house, Sabrina said.
She had seen it move from the outside. It had legs, big, claw-footed things, like those from a monstrous chicken.
House, run!
Baba Yaga cried, and the house took off at a clip. Everyone inside bounced around like they were inside a popcorn machine. Baba Yaga darted to her window and shouted a few screeching threats out at Mirror and Atticus. Then she reached over her head, and a spear made from magic and smoke appeared in her hand. She hurled it out the window, followed by another and yet another. Bunny took the other window, letting fly long tendrils of lightning from her fingertips. Despite their efforts, a massive explosion rocked the house, knocking everyone off their feet.
Now do you see what we're up against?
Bunny demanded.
You have my power at a price, poison maker,
Baba Yaga said.
A price?
Morgan cried.
What is in it for the old mother?
Baba Yaga croaked. Sabrina was incensed.
You get to live in a world that isn't ruled by a maniac.
Baba Yaga laughed.
The world is always ruled by a maniac.
Fine, old mother. You want payment for your services? Name your price,
the wicked queen said.
Your eyes.
No one in the house spoke. And for a moment, all they could hear were the explosions outside. Had Sabrina heard the old witch correctly? Had Baba Yaga just asked Bunny Lancaster for her eyes? She glanced around the room. On a table nearby was a jar of what she had previously hoped were hard-boiled eggs. Now she realized that had been wishful thinking.
Her eyes?
Henry repeated.
A witch's magic is in her eyes, Morgan explained.
She looked distressed.
Every spell I've read,
Every experience I've lived through, every vision that has ever come to me are held in them. In essence, giving her my eyes is giving her my power, Bunny said.
That's my deal, Your Majesty. This coven requires a crone. Unless you want to dig up Frau Pfefferkuchenhaus's worm-eaten corpse. Baba Yaga cackled.
Another blast slammed into the house, and this time the structure could not stand its ground. It stumbled forward and crashed face first into the forest floor. Sabrina grabbed her sister's hand, just as everyone slid with an orchestra of groans into the windows in a mess of legs and arms. Elvis got the worst of the weight and whimpered at the bottom of the pile.
Get up, house!
Baba Yaga screeched, and the house obeyed. Unfortunately, its efforts to regain its footing sent the people inside bouncing and tumbling again. It was a miracle that no one was killed, especially when the house rocked back and forth like a prize fighter shaking off an uppercut. It lumbered onward, only to be blasted and fall yet again. From outside, Mirror called to them.
Is there really any point to the running? What I'm asking for is such a small thing. You'll only suffer by refusing.
Don't listen, Atticus shouted.
The suffering is my favorite part.
We have to fight them, Puck said, pulling his sword from his belt.
That thing out there has access to all arcana. We don't have the magic. We need the power of three if we stand a chance, Bunny Lancaster said. The house was rocked by a third massive assault. When Sabrina righted herself, she saw Baba Yaga extending her hand to the Wicked Queen. Morgan gasped.
Bunny, don't do it.
I have made bigger sacrifices, the Queen said, as she reached out and took the crone's hand.
Very well, old mother. We have a deal.
Baba Yaga smiled a ghastly smile. There was a flash and a rumble, and to Sabrina's shock and disbelief, it looked as if their hands turned to stone, like the hands of a statue in a sculpture garden. Then the rocky flesh cracked, as if filled with red-hot magma. Both witches then extended their hands to Morgan, who joined them. Her hands went through the same eerie change, until they all looked toward the ceiling and said,
"We are bound by coven."
The electricity and the air made everyone's hair stand on end. The trio faced the open windows and chanted an incantation in an ancient language. A wave of tremendous magic exploded out of their chests and flowed out the window. Sabrina raced to the window just in time to see the magic transform into a massive giant 100 feet tall, made of mist and wind. The mist giant attacked Mirror and Atticus, snatching them in its unearthly fists. Atticus fought with his sword, and Mirror launched into a barrage of spells, but their efforts could not stop the creature.
Crone, you've got them occupied for the time being, but we need to get this house out of here, Henry shouted.
Baba Yaga ordered her house to run, and it got back up on its legs and dashed away, leaving the villains far behind them. As they left Mirror and Atticus in the distance, Sabrina watched the two villains, one with a face of evil and one with a face of love. She quietly prayed that the next time they met, she would know how to stop them both.